Thanks for joining me for this second episode in a series that we've entitled, I Will Be Like the Most High. One of the questions we're going to deal with today is, why did God allow Satan to continue to exist outside the lake of fire once sin was found in him? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, as I said at the top of the hour. In our last article in this series, we introduced the biblical concept that while God could have chosen to immediately confine Satan to the lake of fire as soon as sin was found in him, God clearly chose not to do that. And that should make us wonder, why? Why did he do that? Why didn't he do something about Satan then, except just let him fall? He also could have done the same thing when Satan gained the following of one-third of the heavenly hosts of heaven. Again, God chose not to do anything about that as far as sending him to the lake of fire. He allowed him, for the most part, to retain his power. He allowed him to gather to him a group, a following of angels who also fell as he did. He allowed him basically to continue to be. He removed his rank. He removed him from heaven. And he basically became what many consider to be God's nemesis. God allowed Satan to not only continue to exist outside the lake of fire after sin was found in him, but also after there was war in heaven, which resulted in Satan gaining one-third of the heavenly angelic host, as I mentioned. And we can wonder why. And certainly asking that question is good. In fact, I believe answering that question, we learn a tremendous amount about God's higher and even his highest purposes, not only for humanity, but for all of his creation. So I think it's a good question to ask, and it's certainly a good question to investigate. And hopefully, as I believe it does, the Bible provides answers for us. But if we fail to ask that question, we will never see that God has a unique purpose in allowing Satan to remain outside of the lake of fire, creating evil and havoc for us, and essentially all of God's creation. You got to wonder why. Why did God allow it? Once we begin to focus in God's intended purposes in these areas, I believe we also begin to realize that, you know, salvation itself is not God's highest purpose for everything he does, but that it is certainly part of his highest purposes. We learned last time that Satan sinned because of the pride that had taken root in his own heart. His sin is recorded for us in Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, and it is incorporated in his five I will statements. You're familiar with those, which turn out to be promises Satan made to himself. Those promises said in the privacy of his own heart were seen by God. They were heard by God. Nothing to God is private. Even our deepest, deepest thoughts that we may not even realize are there, are not private to God. Because of the promises that Satan made to himself, which were born of arrogance, that sin caused his fall. And he fell from the highest created being to the most evil. Yet God allowed Satan to retain much of his power, as I mentioned, and included in that power are his very persuasive abilities to deceive people. And this, I believe, he has worked to his advantage against our Eve, our first mother, who ended up following his temptation that caused her to sin. Adam, in complete rebellion, followed suit. Now, in doing so, our first parents exchanged their obedience to God for Satan. And he then became, in essence, the controller, the owner of the earth, since Adam and Eve were God's representatives on the earth, and they were also overlords of it. So by sinning, Adam and Eve didn't just fall. They gave away everything to Satan, who had craftily directed their failure to continue in obedience to their creator. In essence, then, they swapped allegiances from God to Satan. Though Satan had sinned prior to the fall of our parents, and again, God could have stopped that by simply placing Satan in the lake of fire, eliminating the possibility, but God chose not to do so. He had sinned. We're talking now about Satan. He had sinned outside the realm of earth, most likely, and it is possible that Adam and Eve had not yet been created. Now, we really have no firm or dogmatic way of knowing this. People are not in agreement over it, but in any case, once Satan caused the fall of humanity, he became inextricably bound up in humanity's timeline. And that is very, very clear from Scripture. There was now no escape for him. And what happened to earth and the world's population as part of God's creation would also happen to him. Now, we spoke last time of the fact that God will bring himself glory in everything that occurs, in all of his creation. That is his intention, and it will be done. It will be accomplished. This is exactly what the Bible reveals. It's not simply about the plan of salvation, though that's a huge part of it. And I never want to underestimate or reduce that value in salvation. It is, though, about God's highest purpose for himself and his creation. And that's something we always need to keep in mind. So to that end, Satan is being used to help bring all of this about, all of it. All of what about? His promises. Let's look more closely at the timeline from start to finish to see how this is all being worked out. When Satan fell through pride, that made him think more highly of himself than he ought to have thought of himself. That's what pride does. It put him on a path that would eventually and ultimately crash right into God himself. Now, those five I will statements recorded for us in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 would be his eternal undoing. However, as we noted, God could have sent Satan and his demonic host to the lake of fire immediately after sin was found within him, but he didn't do that. God's plan would involve allowing Satan to have every opportunity to bring his promises that included becoming like the Most High to fruition. So the big picture should provide us with direct insight into God's purposes as they relate to this world and all of his creation. The question to ask is this: if God allowed and is allowing Satan every opportunity to become like the Most High, what will that ultimately look like as it unfolds? What can we expect in this world? And what should we see unfolding, not only in our lifetime, but up until and including the end of the coming tribulation period? If God is going to allow Satan the opportunities he needs to attempt to bring his promises to fruition, especially the one that says, I will become like the Most High, how is that going to appear to us? Will we see it happening? Will it affect the world and our lives? What changes might we see in global society as Satan is allowed to bring the needed change to this world so that he can ascend, if you will, to become absolute ruler? Isn't that what he wants? Isn't that what he's promising to do? Isn't that what he stated boldly, if not only to himself, yet God saw? Isn't that what he decided, however long ago it was? Well, the aforementioned questions are what we are talking about. If the answers to these questions are proof that God is allowing Satan the necessary opportunities to succeed, is there any place we might see the plan apart from how it is worked out in society? Might we even find a source that fills us in on how Satan's plan is going to be worked out? If that source exists, might that same source also reveal to us the ending or summation or the goal or what happens of the working out of that plan? Of course, the answer, as I'm sure you've guessed, is that it is found in the Bible, God's Word, Holy Writ, Scripture, it is reasonable to expect that if God has allowed Satan the freedom to create the perfect environment for him to one day rule the world and be closer to being like the Most High, then we should also expect that God would have told us about it way ahead of time. Not only how Satan was going to attempt to work things out, but the actual outcome of his attempts to work things out. If the plan does, in actuality, exist as revealed in Scripture, then we can be confident in its efficacy and integrity, its truthfulness. Understanding that the plan has been revealed helps us avoid theological fads that, for instance, tell Christians that if we only work more effectively, pray harder, demand our rights, we can turn and insert the name of your country here around and be saved from coming judgment. Is that the way it should go for Christians today? Is that what we're to be involved in doing? What should be the primary purpose of every Christian? Well, next time we will begin looking very closely at what the Bible tells us regarding Satan's plan to rule the world and whether there is anything as Christians we can do to alter his course. So I hope you'll join me then as we continue our series, I Will Be Like the Most High. And until we meet again, I pray that the Lord will open your eyes to see how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.